Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Yevamos Pei. We're on Ayin Tes Amud Beis on the last line. In the Mishnah we spoke about Esaris, a fellow who's unable to bear children and therefore ineligible to do Chalitza or Yibum. Now we're going to focus specifically on the Siris Chama, a fellow who's been that way since day one. He was born with that condition, with that hormonal imbalance, which does not allow him to bear children. And this fellow, at least according to Rabbi Akiva, since he never had a moment of potential childbearing, it was not Sha'as HaKesher, he was born that way, from day one. Therefore, he's ineligible for Yibum or Chalitza. Because the point is to reestablish, to rebuild his brother's home. He's not that type of person who ever had that ability. Likewise, a fellow who passes away without children, but he himself was a Saris Chama. Never had the ability to build a family. Yibum or Chalitza is inapplicable. Says the Gemara, Hechi Dami Siris Chama. What do we mean Siris Chama? And as we learned yesterday, Chama is the exposure to sunlight, meaning he was never exposed. From the first moment, he's been that way. How exactly do we describe this fellow? What exactly does this involve? Hechidam Yisrus Chama, Amrav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amrav Yechanan, exactly as we explained, Kol Shelei Ra'a Shah Achas B'Kashrusah. He never experienced even one moment of Kashrus. Meaning I didn't. How do you know that that's so? He's currently a Saris. How do you know he's been that way since birth? Amar Abaye. This is the way you determine. Kol Hamatil Mayim, when he sheds his water, if Eino Yisakipa doesn't create an ark, it's not coming out forcefully, this fellow is a Saris Chama. In my Havi, how does this condition come about? What brings about this defect? In the newborn child, it's attributed to his mother's conduct, her behavior during pregnancy. The Afye Imi B'Tahara, his mother would bake bread. B'Tiara, she would be exposed to intense heat through the baking process. B'Tiara, she would do it in the middle of the day, in the heat of day, exposure to this excessive heat affected the child and he was born with this defect. V'shasya shichra marka. As well, she drinks sharp and strong beer. And that caused the child to be a Saris Cham. I'm Rabbi Yosef Hainu, now I understand. D'shaman la'ami. I once heard Rabbi Ami speaking about the Omar. He spoke about kol shemim eid limui lokoi, somebody who was defective from moment of birth. I wasn't sure what he's referring to. Now I understand he was just describing the Saris Chama mentioned in the Mishnah. How do you know that he was this way since day one, continuously without interruption? Meaning, maybe he's been that way since way back. He is that way currently, but maybe sometime in the middle, his condition ceased to be there. He got healthy for a short moment, in which case, he had a Sha'as HaKesher. He had a moment of potential childbearing, in which case, according to Rabbi Akiva, he's included in Yibum. V'leichosh Shem Hivri Ben Taim. Maybe he recovered somewhere in the middle. Answers the Gemara. There's no reason to suspect that this happened. Kiven detchilosei v'soifei loki. Since initially he experienced this condition, and soifei currently he's still experiencing it. Loichai shina. We're not concerned that sometime in the middle, unbeknownst to us, he made a quick recovery but then relapsed. It's unlikely. There's a chazaka that it was a continuous condition. Masav Rav Amari. Is that so? We just assume it was continuous without any interruption. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignois Omer. Here's a halacha in Maseches Bechoreis. An animal, a bechor, who has a mum, can be shechted outside the Mikdash. Suppose he developed an eye element, ailment. So some sort of sickness in his eye. Boit kin oisei sholash pa'amim b'toich shmanim yayim. that condition has to be present for 80 days, and you check it intermittently. You check it at the beginning of the 80 days, at the end, and in the middle. You don't say, well, beginning and the end is okay. It has to be a constant examination. You have to constantly observe that condition to ensure that there was no recovery in the middle. There you go. Beginning and end is not sufficient. Perhaps there was a turnaround in the middle. Why is Saris different? Big difference. Lachad Eiver Chayshinan. When speaking simply about a local condition in one Eiver, like an eye, yeah, there can be a turnaround, a recovery, and a relapse. But Lekule Gufa Lechashina, but Saris is a comprehensive, all-encompassing condition. Rashi calls it Machmas Choyli Kol HaGufu. It's a serious hormonal imbalance. It doesn't just turn around without us noticing it. So we're not choishes for that. We started ending in this way. We're not choishes that somehow there was a recovery in the middle, which we haven't noticed. Okay, so we discussed Saris Chama, born with this condition. According to Rabbi Akiva, he had no Sha'as HaKosher. He never lived through a moment of Kashrus, and therefore he's excluded from Yibum, from Chalitza, whereas according to Rabbi Eliezer, the other Tan in the Mishnah, he works based on other guidelines. He says the determinant factor is not Sha'as HaKosher, rather it's whether or not this fellow can be healed. And actually, a Saris Chama can be healed, as opposed to a Saris Adam. It was by way of human interference. In that case, it's a permanent condition. So, according to Rabbi Lezer, Saris Chama has Yibam or Chalitza. Rabbi Lezer, Emir Loiki Vichu, V'raminu. Really? According to Rabbi Lezer, a Saris Chama has Chalitza? Listen to this Brisa, which seems to tell us otherwise. Ben Esrim Shana. This fellow is 20 years old, way past bar mitzvah. We don't notice any pubic hairs, any indications of maturity of adulthood. So he's still a katan, right? Until when does he remain a katan? Unaccountable for his actions. Until when? He's already 20 years old. Perhaps he's never going to show shtei saris. He's not able to bear shtei saris. Perhaps he is a saris who's experiencing this condition, who has this severe hormonal imbalance. So what do? We prove it as such. Yaviu Rai, they should prove Shuhu Ben Eshrim, that he's exactly 20. Take a look at his birth certificate. He's already 20, Vuha Saris, and exhibiting signs of a Saris, which the Gemara later will list for us. In that case, he is labeled as a Saris. Lo Yecholetz, Vele Miyabim, No Chalitza, No Yibim. Likewise by the Isha, except by her we call it an islandess. She has her own hormonal imbalance. She doesn't present like an ordinary, conventional, standard female. Bas Estrim, she's already 20, Vloivish de Saris, without the signs of maturity. So until when is she a Ktana? The same idea, Yaviu Raya, she Bas Estrim, prove that she's 20, Vi islandess. And she is presenting those simonim, those indicators of ha'ilanis, as we're going to discuss later. And therefore, lo yicholetzes, lo misebemes. Divrei Beis Hillel, according to them, 20 is the trigger point, after which they are labeled as soris and ilanis. So going forward, they're already considered adults with respect to all the halachas in the Torah. So it's either or. Either you present shtei saris at the conventional route of attaining godless, or you've proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are a saris or an islandess who can't produce shtei saris. We have an alternate route for you. Alternate system. Present yourself as a saris, as an islandess, show those indicators, and now you've been labeled a saris, an islandess, and you have a din of a gadol. But you still can't do yibum or chalitza because you can't rebuild a family, as we discussed. At what age does this happen? At what age can you be labeled as a Saris? 20. According to Beishami, whether it's the Isha or the Isha, 18 is the perfect age to determine their status. Rabbi Lezer Oymar, he takes a middle route. Hazachar, when it comes to a man, we have to wait until 20. Kedid Rabbi Yisilal, until 20. Until then, you don't know, he hasn't really fully matured. Once he hits 20, you see what he's all about. It's time to determine his status. When it comes to a woman, Kedid Rabbi Yisshamay, it works according to Yisshamay 18. V'pnei she'isha me'maheres lovay. Typically, a woman matures earlier than a man. She becomes bas mitzvah a year before the man. So her status is discernible 2 years earlier. Bottom line is, it's Rabbi Lezer speaking. A Tana Rabbi Lezer. And what is he telling us? That a saris chama, a fellow born with this hormonal situation, can't do chalitza or yibam. And now Mishnah tells us he can because he has refuah. Amar Rami bar Dekulia mar Shmuel. Certainly there's a steer, and we have to say chazar boy, Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer changed his mind. The question is, which way did he change his mind? May hai hadar bay. Did he revert from what he said in the Mishnah? Or the Bryce? Tashma. We're going to bring it right from another Bryce, which is consistent with our Mishnah and proves that the refuah determinant, that criterion, is what carries the day according to Rabbi Lezer. Tanya Blezer Aymer. Siris chama choylitz v'chotzen le'ishtay. You know why? Because he has hope. Shekein b'minon, because people with this type of situation, misrapin, they would attain refuah b'alachzandria shel Mitzrayim, which was the bastion of civilization at that time. That's where they would go for good medical treatments. In any case, it's clear that Rabbi Lezer holds refuah carries the day, and therefore siris chama can do chalitz. Rabbi Elazar Omer, this is the Amira, he says, no, lo'ilam lo'yhadar bay. There was never a stira to begin with. Never. Rabbi Elazar always and still holds the potential for recovery is what really determines his halacha. And as Riz Chama, born that way, naturally, does chalitza because he can still recover from his condition. Well, the question was, what about this Braisa? Which starts discussing the saris who can't do chalitza, and Rabbi Lezer comes and sort of supports that. He provides his own, you know, age limitations, but seems to be going along with the halacha that a saris chama is ineligible for chalitza. No. V'chitnana hilin einshin itmar. And that price, Rabbi Lezer was speaking about labeling this fellow as a saris with respect to punishing him, meaning, at what point is he accountable for what he does? You see, a saris has two issues. He's not a gadol, right? And therefore unaccountable for what he does. He's like a katan in that respect. And number two, he can't do yibum or chalitza. Rabbi Lezer, although seems and appeared, was going along with the halacha of chalitza and yibum in that brisa, that's untrue. Because a saris chama, contra blazer, who has refuah in Alexandria, can do chalitz. He was focusing on a specific aspect of the saris. The katan aspect, the ancient aspect, the accountability aspect. A saris chama is also a katan, because he's not a developed person. He's not achieved maturity, and that's what Blazer was referring to. Itmar, here comes the interesting shaila. So this fellow is passed by mitzvah, no shtei saris. We don't see godless, we don't see adulthood or maturity. We wait until 20, and we see on him that he's a saris. He exhibits all the signs of a saris. What happens in the interim, between 13 and 20? Well, in the case of the girl, according to Rabbi Lezer, at least it's between 12 and 18, because 18 is the trigger point. Itmar, ochal chelev miben shtei maestri v'yem echad. So she ate chaylev. Didn't have her between 12 and 18. Ad ben shmoina esrei. V'noil debo yisimoni sris. And you see, the simon of sris. Ulacha mikan hevish de saris. Even if later you find her two saris, it doesn't sway it one way or the other, because she has been established and determined that it is sris. It was an islandess. This is Taisha speaking, by the way. Taisha says, we met the girl and islandess. It's irrelevant. The concept is all the same. Whether it's 18, 20, boy, girl, it's still the same question. Let's say they did something wrong. It did not vary between the two numbers, between 12 and 18. After which, they have been determined as Soros or Islandess. Does it go retroactive or is it going forward? Until now, we treated them as a katan. But now that it's been determined that they are a saris, which as we explained is an alternate route you can take to maturity, you're never going to display proper signs of maturity. You're a saris. Does it happen backwards? Does it happen retroactively? L'mafreya? Okay, so then we'll treat you as a gadol from way back, from 12. Or is it going forward? Rava Amar Nasas Ris Mafreya. It's a retroactive process. It's been determined that you've turned into an adult at 12. We hadn't known about it until now. But now it's been determined that this was the route you were taking all along, and you were really a gdaila at 12. Just you haven't showed it, because you were an islandist. But now we understand why. Because you weren't able to show simoni gadol. But really, you're a gdaila from then, and therefore you get an einish for what you did between 12 and 18. Shmuel Amar no. Katan hoya b'yisr shah. He was a katan until now. Going forward, you're a gadol, but not until now. Maskev l'Rav Yosef l'Rav. He asked the kasha to Rav that it's retroactive. If so, islandist l'Rabbi Meir yehilo knas. We know that a person interacts with a na'ara. He forcibly interacts with her. He pays a knas, a penalty. Now, this is specific to a nara. Until 12, you're a ktana. From 12 to 12 and a half, you're a nara. 12 and a half and on, you're a begeris. You're past that point. The Mishnah later tells us, actually, a Mishnah in Ksubas, an islandess, this type of icha with the hormonal imbalance, never earns a knas. According to Shitas, Rav Meir holds that knas doesn't apply to a ktana, only a nara. Okay, that's the background to this halach. What do you mean? According to Rav, even an islandess who's been determined later on to be an islandess, that determination works retroactively. And therefore, if this incident occurred between 12 and 18, then she should have a knas. If it happened between 12 and 12 and a half, that's the point of Narus. We didn't know about it until now. We thought she was just a Knana, but now that she's developed into an islandess, and this applies retroactively, so we treat her like a regular Isha. From 12 to 12 and a half, she's a Nara. Only Abai responded to Rav Yosef's Kasha. That's a good Kasha, but Mikatnusa Yotza Labaga. There is no Nara stage. She sort of skips that stage. Typically, once she's 12, she turns into a Nara. At 12 and a half, like Megaris. But in this case, there's no Nara's stage. It's from childhood straight into adulthood. That's just the way it works. Because she didn't actually develop it properly. It was that alternate route that she took. So it jumps from Katnus to Bagrus. Mikatnus Soyotza Lebeger. And therefore, there is no Na'arus stage at all. And Knas is not applicable. Amalei, so Rav Yosef liked this response. He says, Kol kihani, mili mal yasa, all these types of good things, these amru mishmoi should be related to my name. I'd like to take credit for this. In fact, it is true and substantiated. I'll prove it from a braisa, the sanya. Ein asaris nidon kiben soira moira. There's a son who rebels against his parents. A ben soira moira, but he's a saris. We don't treat him as such. We only apply the halacha ben soira moira in very specific cases, almost impossible. In fact, the Gemara says it never could happen. What is one condition that has to be met? He has to be ella b'chasima zokna tachton. You have to have a fully grown. It's a lashon of the sar in the aver of the ish. So that's number one. Number two, and this is what pertains to us. Ve'in islandess nedoines kenara murasa. The knas that applies when he interacts with a nara murasa doesn't apply to an islandess. Why? Here's the answer. Shemikat nusa yotza lebegar. She goes straight from childhood straight into adulthood. She skips the Narus stage, and therefore it's inapplicable. Amar Rabbi Avo, Simon Isris Vailas. Suppose this teenager exhibits signs of a Saris, an islandess. You have to wait until they're 20 to determine them as such. And also, Ben Shmoino, you have a newborn who is not a full-term baby. He was born after 8 months of pregnancy, which is very problematic and very precarious. In fact, the Gemara says a ben Shmoina doesn't survive. Only a ben Shiva, 7 month pregnancy, or 9 month pregnancy. So he's an 8 month pregnancy. It's precarious. His future is unknown. Hanging in a balance. Ein oisin ben masa. You can't really determine their status. So he's speaking about two different concepts here. When it comes to the service of islands, you can't label them as such until they're 20. In which case, they've established themselves as such. Likewise with the Ben Shmoni, you don't know what's going to happen until you see him fully mature until he's 20. Ben Shmoni, Sir Lechupa, Ben Estrim, Lirdaif, Yetzitzav, he's 20. That's a true stage of maturity. So, Ein Oisin Ben Masa, you can't really determine their status, Ad Sheyu Ben Estrim, until they're 20 years old. Asks the Gemara, why even discuss an 8 month baby who can't really survive? Uben Shmoina Mikachai, how does he live? Vatani, the Brisa says, Ben Shmoina Hareu Ke'evan. He's like a stone, Vasal Tatlo, he can't move him on Shabbos because he's not meant to survive. Aval, but there's one, Heter Imoi, his mother, Seich Olav Manikasik, can lean over him and feed him and nurse him, Nesakona, because otherwise you're exasperating the situation. At least try to prolong his life and also endangers the mother who needs to relieve her pressure. So Ben Shmoina clearly has no chance of survival. So why are we speaking otherwise? Hochet Mayaskina, in our case, we're speaking Keshegomru Simonov. What happened was, you see indications of maturity, of fully developed hair and nails, which indicates that perhaps he was in there longer than 7 months. Perhaps he's a 7 month baby who just lingered around for another month, in which case he can survive because he's a 7th month baby, the Sanya. Ezo ben Shmoina. What is a ben Shmoina whose chances of survival are bleak? Kol shaloi kol lechadoshav. He didn't have a full term, he didn't have 9 months of pregnancy. Rabbi Omer, it depends. You have to take a close look at that child. Simonim mechichin olav, you can tell on the simonim se'aroi, for instance, his hair, v'tziparnav, his nails, le'gomer, which didn't fully develop. Tama de le'gomer, because they didn't develop. So then you assume he's really an 8 month baby. Ha'gomer, but let's say you see them develop, then you have to speculate that he's really a 7 month fetus. Amrinon will say, hai bar zainu. He's really a 7 month fetus who can survive. Vishtahuye, who did Yishtai? He just lingered around in there for another month, but really he can survive. And that's the case we're speaking about here as well. This type of developed newborn, in which case we have good reason to believe that he'll survive. Wait around until he's 20, then you know for sure. So Rebbe is the one that holds the Shita that we speculate, we suggest that there was a Shehiyah in there. Elohada Avad Ravata Sva Uvda. If so, how do we explain the halacha that Rav Tosfa did? He passed an halacha l'maisa in a case where Bi'isha Shalach Bala L'mdina Sayam, a woman whose husband traveled out of town for a full 12 months. V'ishtoi, he waited around Ad Reiser Achishat, he only came back after 12 months, and then she had a baby. V'achshrei, Rav says the child's okay. What do you mean? There was no husband around. How can you attribute the child to the husband? It's the 12 months. Kiman ki Rebbe. Apparently he was following Shitas Rebbe, the Amar, who holds that. Atai Mishtai. Yes, the child could linger in there. So perhaps he was really a 9 month baby, and Rashi says he waited around 3 months until he came to visit the world. Mishtai, that's Shitas Rebbe. So Rabbat, his foe, was paskin like Rebbe. In contrast to the Chachamim, why would he follow a Shitas Yochid against the Rabbim? Answers the Gemara, we found another Shita that concurs with this. Given the Ikar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, we have another Shita, the Amar, who also concurs with this. He says, Mishtai, there was a concept of lingering around before birth, Ki Rabbim Avat, so he followed the majority, meaning he found the Rebbe, Yerushim Gamliel, it's a din of a Rabbim, he was able to follow that Shita, the Sanyo. What do we find, Yerushim Gamliel? Bryce says, Rabban Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Kol Sheshah, Lamed Yoim, Ba'adam, Ein HaNefel. Yeah, but baby born, regardless of when he was born, full term, even 8 months into pregnancy, was typically would not survive. But if he lives after birth for at least 30 days, apparently he's not a nafel. He's viable. He'll survive. I'm speaking even about an 8 month baby. How could that work? Apparently, we'll apply this theory that the child is really a 7-month baby, lingered around, and therefore he will survive. Tanu Rabbanan, as promised, let's go back to the list of simanim of the Soris and the Eilonis. Eizu Soris Chama. How does the Soris Chama present himself? Kol Shu Ben Esrim. He's already 20. Valehevi Beishtaris. We don't see these signs of maturity. We don't see the pubic hairs. Even if he developed them after 20, it's too late. Arei was saris, kesaris chadvarav. We treat him as a saris with respect to all the halachas that we mentioned. Ve'eloin simonav. Now he has to present certain signs, certain indicators of saris. We have a long list, which all are reflective of his hormonal imbalance. Kol shein leizakon. He has no beard. Usarei lakoi. The hair that he does have is very thin. Upsarei machlek. Smooth skin. Rabba and Hashem Gamliel Oymer Mishum Bido Ben Yair. Another sign is Kol She'ein Meim of Malin Resiches. His Meim Raglayim. His urine doesn't really create that foam. Yesh Oymerim Kol Amatal Mayim Bein Oysa Kippa. When he sheds water, it doesn't create that arc. Yesh Oymerim Kol She Shichva Zaray Doicha. His Shichva Zaray is of a thin consistency. Yesh Oymerim. Some add Kol She'ein Meim Raglav Machmitzin. His Meim Raglayim doesn't really spoil. Acheron Oymerim. They give another sign Kol She Reiches Moisak Shamim. When he bathes in the winter, ve'ein besorim malehevel. There's no steam coming from his flesh. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Lozer Omer. It's also voice related. Kol shekoyloi lakoi. He has like a light voice. Ve'ein nikar bein ish leisha. You can't tell him that he's a man. He doesn't have a male voice. It sounds more like a lady than a man. So these are simanim presented by an asaris. Now Tosis asks, you know, we're speaking about a Soris Chama from birth, but not all these things are discernible from birth. So he says, yeah, it's true. When these things become applicable, that's when we test it. Some things are there from day one, but some things develop as we go along. So whenever that concept is applicable, we tested it, and it just feeds into the earlier Simon and sort of accumulates to give us that full list, which allows us to determine that this was there from birth. On the other side of the mechitzah, we have the islandess. What does she present? Kol shehibas esrim. She's already 20. V'levi beishtaris, without the two saris. Afilo avi lachem mikan. Even if she presents them after 20, harei ka'islandess chol dvareah. She's treated like an islandess. Ve'ilo in simoneah. What are the simonim of the isha? Kol shein lo dadam. She has no breast. U'miskasha b'shas tashmi. She has a difficult time interacting with a man. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer. He adds another thing called She'ein Lo Shipulei Ma'ayim Kenoshim. It doesn't have that slight protrusion above the Makom of Erva, which is typical to women. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer. So according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, we add the voice indicator as well. So by the man, he sounds like a woman. By the woman, she sounds like a man. Kol She'koy La'ova. She has a thick male-sounding voice. Ve'ena Nikeres Benishal Ish, which makes it difficult to determine, to discern that she's a woman. So we have a long list of simon isris. Now, are all needed, or one is enough? Once again, a machlekes. It's mar simon isris. Rav Huna Amar, it's a package deal. Ad sheyeh kulam. All or nothing. You have to exhibit all those signs. Rav Yechon Amar, no, afilu be'echad mehem, even one is enough. Explains the Gemara. Hey, chod ha'hevi beis saris bezokin. When you see shtei saris in a zokin, so he's showing some sort of signs of normalcy. In this case, Kuli Amule Pligi all agree. Even Rabbi Yechanan, Da'ad Sheyu Kulon, you have to exhibit all the other signs in order to be considered a Saris, because you have something to show for yourself. So you need all those other Siman to sort of cancel this one. Ki Pligi, when do we have this discussion? When does Rabbi Yechanan suffice with one sign? Bishalayhevi Ella Bishalayhevi. When he did not exhibit any Saris in his beard. In which case, Rabbi Yechanan says, you know what? One sign is enough. And Tosis points out, well, this actually is one of the signs. No beard, right? So basically what he's saying is, if there's no beard, that's it. That's all you need. Asks the Gemara. Eloha, if so, how do we understand the story? The Amar Lehu, Rabbi Baravol Rabban. Rabbi tells the other Rabbanon, I want to send you on a mission. I knew Bey, Rav Nachman. Go investigate Rav Nachman in the bathhouse. Ibe sorei ma lehevel. If indeed there is steam emanating from his flesh, Esev lebrat, then I can determine that he's not a Soros, because he's lacking that sign of Soros. Esev lebras, I'll give him my daughter. He's a perfect son-in-law. Now, apparently, Rav Nachman presented other simanim. In fact, the Mordechai will tell us he didn't have a beard. So he presented that question mark. He raised a red flag as to his status. He had other simanim, but Rabbi says, look, let's see if he has all these simanim. If indeed we check off the entire list, then he's a saris. Otherwise, he's okay. Kiman ki Rav Huna. Is this following Rav Huna, who says all or nothing? Until he presents all his simanim, he is not to be labeled a saris. According to Rabbi Yechan, one sign is enough. No, that's not the case. Rav Nachman, sichi de dikna, havile, sichi is like a peg. He had some sort of hair indicators in his, not proper hair, but some sort of indications of hair, some sort of short hair in his beard. In which case, we just said a minute ago, all agree that that type of situation has to be counterbalanced by all these simanim of saris. As soon as he exhibits some sort of hair in his beard, in order to cancel that effect, you have to have all the other simanim, and then you become a saris, and this is agreed upon by Rav Yochanan as well as Rav Huna. Continues the Gemara, back to the Mishnah, saris lechoylitz lemiyabim chena eilenis. So in both cases, there is no chalitza, there is no yibum, whether he's a saris, whether she's an eilenis. Now the Mishnah sort of puts them on the same boat. Ketani saris, dumi de eilenis. We speak about a saris and an eilenis in the same breath. Apparently they're comparable. They're both natural phenomena. Ma eilenis bidei shemayim, just like the eilenis, is certainly something which is natural. You're born with it. Something that you can actually, bring about by human intervention. Av siris bidei shemayim. Likewise, as siris mentioned in the Mishnah, speaking about bidei shemayim. Naturally, born that way. And what does the Mishnah tell us? There is no chalitza. Why? Ustamak erakiva. Apparently, we're following shitas of Akiva, the Amar bidei adam in. Bidei shemayim loy. If it's a man-made condition, then you need chalitza. But bidei shemayim loy, but bidei shemayim, if it's born and it's natural, then he had no shas ha-kosher, in which case he's excluded from the halacha of yibum or chalitza. That's the stam in the Mishnah lefi shitas Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so what did we learn today? We spoke about the siris and the eilenis, the male and female version of this hormonal imbalance, which has two ramifications. Number one, they're considered to be ketanim with respect to oinshim, with respect to the ability to do kinyanim, etc. They're not considered mature adults until when? Until they turn 20 or 18, whichever shita we're following. And at that point, once they exhibit simanim, that they are indeed a siris and eilenis, we treat them as gedolim. Retroactive going forward, that's a machlek. Rav says l'mafreya, Shmuel says going forward. So it has an effect regarding oinshin, also regarding yibum and chalitza. In that itself, we have machlekes. Rav Akiva says sha'as ha'kosher is the determinant factor. If it's been there since day one, you're exempt from yibum and chalitza. According to Blazer, it works with potential refuah. So all the way around, if he's born with this condition, it's a natural condition that has refuah, and therefore, chalitza would apply as opposed to if it's a man-made type of situation. So what happens at 18 or 20? If he shows simone sris, at that point, he is labeled as a saris, she is labeled as an eilenis. What are the simone sris and eilenis? We have a long list in the Gemara. Hair-related, voice-related. Do we need all or is one enough? According to Rav Huna, all are needed. According to Rav Yechanan, any of these suffices for the labeling of the saris or the eilenis. All the best to you and atzlacha rabbah.